Testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, doth my soul keep them. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, does my soul keep them. My soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. Because your soul is informed by the Holy Ghost who lives and dwells on the inside of you. Amen? His testimonies, His word, His promises, just like this one up here, His testimonies are wonderful. They're full of peace and thanksgiving and full of blessing and benefit. Psalm 103 says, forget not all of His benefits. How many other benefits? You work at Lockheed, you got some benefits. You know, work some other places, you don't have any benefits. But these are His benefits. And His testimonies, those things which He says to us, everything He says is wonderful. Therefore does my soul gather them, keep them. When you remember the word keep, keep is always observe and guard and hold as valuable. Amen. Doth therefore, for that reason, my soul keeps your testimonies. I want to listen to everything that every testimony that somebody said, that Jonathan said about what God had done in his life. And I'm going to keep that testimony and hold that dear. Mary said she kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Everything that the angel had said, every promise that the angel had made, she kept these things and she pondered them. She meditated on them in her heart. And that's us. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore does my soul keep them. So it's not just a private, just like, you know, in your private spirit, your born again part, but your mind begins to hear the testimonies of God and begins to keep them and begins to meditate on them and begins to love those testimonies, because those testimonies are testimonies of His benefits. Amen? The testimonies are testimonies of walking with God. What it is to walk with God is to receive joy, peace, thanksgiving, love, walking with Him, knowing Him. Amen? I don't know about you, but I like this psalm. We're on verse 129, and it's just as good as the first one, isn't it? It is for me. I hope it is for you. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore does my soul keep them. My soul keeps them. And so he says here in this scripture, as we looked at it this morning, righteousness goes before me, and He sets us in the way of His steps. That's what keeping His testimonies, meditating upon His promises, that's what that does. Is that sets us in His steps, because His righteousness is going before us. It's like the pillar of fire, or the pillar of cloud leading Him through the desert, isn't it? Huh? We have that leading of the Holy Ghost. The leading of the Holy Ghost began in the wilderness, leading them, keeping their shoes from falling apart. Their clothes weren't tattered. They walked through the desert for 40 years, and the only thing wore out is some of them, their bodies. You know, because they didn't believe. How can you not believe? That's what we do. I mean, you're walking for 40 years and your shoes don't wear out and your clothes don't wear out and you got plenty of food in the middle of the desert and you're still complaining. Isn't that the human mind? Isn't that the human mind? Amen. But if you'll trust Him and believe His word, it's like when Moses went into the tabernacle, you know, they even kicked the tabernacle out of the camp. And Moses had to go outside the camp to go worship and hear from God. But then there was one young man who went down there. He said, Joshua, a young man, went down with Moses. But when Moses came back from ministering to the Lord, Joshua, a young man, stayed in the tabernacle of the Lord. He knew what it was. He saw what it was to stand in the benefits of God and stand in the presence of God. That's what we pray for our young people, that they understand what it is to stand in the presence of God and to know the presence of God. And that we are totally in patience. We're totally patient. We're totally peaceful before the Lord. We're not nervous. We're not afraid. We're not bent out of shape because things don't go our way today. Amen? We're rejoicing and giving thanks to God. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who you are. We're rejoicing, giving thanks to God, though things don't go my way. Because the Lord sets me in the way of His steps. The entrance, oh, here it is. The entrance of your word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. Go ahead and be simple. I'm simple, aren't you? Don't be smart, be simple. I am simple. I don't claim to know anything. Praise God. Of course, I didn't go to Yale. Barely went anywhere. Praise the Lord. I always thought it was funny that the Lord put me and Jim together. That's just odd. That odd combination. So therefore, the entrance of the Word, the entrance of your words gives light. So let His Word, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Eat the Word. Jeremiah 15:16, we've said, Thy words were found and I did eat them. Kind of a funny picture. Your words were found and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. They were tasty. The entrance of your words gives light. Hallelujah. I opened my mouth and panted like the deer searching for the water. I opened my mouth and panted. So my desire, what's my desire? What do I need? It says, I longed for your commandments. I opened my mouth. What do I need? I need His commandments. I need His commandments. That's what I need. I need His commands. Not His commands that tell me, okay, do this or else, but His commands are, here's how I've created the world, and here's how I've created every blessing for you. Walk in that. That's His commands. What's His command? To love one another. This is the command that I give you. Love the Lord with your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the command of God. The Ten Commandments are just a demonstration of what that looks like. But it's not something you can perform or something you can do. It's something He does, isn't it? So as we worship Him and magnify Him and exalt Him, He begins to cause us to set us in the way of His steps. Verse 132, look upon me and be merciful. Talking to God, David talking to God. Look upon me and be merciful to me as you used to do unto those who love thy name. In other words, you're looking back on those. You're looking back on those testimonies. Not like you used to love me, but now you don't. No. I'm looking back on the testimony of those who have followed you before. And have mercy on me like you had mercy on them. And I believe you will. Amen? Like you used to do back in the day. You remember, God, how it was back in the day when you used to have, when I read about the stories, when Mom told me about the stories, how God loved me and God loved my grandfather and my grandmother and brought them out of difficulties and brought them across the ocean or brought our family out of poverty, or how God moved in one situation or another. He says, look upon me, Lord, and be merciful to me as you did to those who love your name. As you did to those who love your name. Psalm 5 says in verse 11 and 12 says, but let all those that put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let them also that love your name be joyful in you. I love His name. He exalts His word above His name. Why? Because His word declares His name. Amen? Here, now you're going to like verse 133. It says, order my steps in your word. Wow, Dave. It's right in here. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Because His righteousness goes before me. Order my steps. Let's pray that. Order my steps, Lord. Order my steps in Your Word. I want to be in His Word. Order my steps in His Word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Well, so if you're not under the law, then that's when sin doesn't have any dominion over you. But you're under grace. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep Thy precepts. Teach me Thy way, Psalm 27. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. So He's going to, just because you have enemies around doesn't mean the Lord can't lead you, doesn't mean He can't bring you through a difficulty. He sets a table for me, before me, spreads a whole table for me, said, come on, sit down in the presence of my enemies. Causes me to be able to rejoice and to relax and rest and enjoy fellowship with Him with all my enemies standing around. All the things that are, maybe they're not physical, personal, individual enemies, but they're enemies which try to destroy you. Like, for instance, depression. And you seeing yourself as invaluable, not valuable. Amen? That's an enemy, isn't it? See, an enemy will try to teach you, take away the value that God's already put on the inside of you. That's an enemy. But you're going to sit at table with the Lord in the presence of your enemies, because your enemies don't get you. They don't worry about it. They don't have any authority or power over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen? Are you happy? Thank you, Jesus. You can read this yourself. It's only 8 verses. This part. Deliver me from the oppression of man. This same verse. So will I keep Your precepts. Luke chapter 1, Zechariah, in his prophecy, father of John the Baptist, prophesied this, that He would grant unto us that being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, we might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Once you're delivered from your enemies and you know it, then you can serve Him. You can serve Him without fear. Psalm 56:13 says, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Can you say that? He has delivered my soul from death. Wilt Thou not deliver my feet from falling? So my soul's delivered. Isn't He going to take care of the rest of me? That I may walk before God in the land of the living. Psalm 135, make Thy face to shine upon Your servant, and teach me Thy statutes. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God has commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, and has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's Jesus in the face of Jesus. His face, the face of Jesus, make His face to shine upon Your servant, and teach me Your statutes. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's who you are. Amen? Jeff, you were talking about that. Is it just when you show up because you're a light. That's your job. You show up as a light. How hard does a light work? You know, you're just a light. You're being a light. You are my witnesses. You know, it's just, you're just out there shining. How hard does the sun work? It just shines. Because it's the nature of the sun to shine. It's the nature of you to shine. Just when you show up. Do you have confidence that everywhere you go, you show up, you shine? You have confidence in that? Are you kind of cognizant of that? Everywhere you go, you shine? It's kind of like kind of self-conscious. You want to kind of cover yourself up. Man, I hope I'm not too bright. Well, I didn't mean that, but I hope I'm not too bright. I hope I'm not offending anybody. No, you just walk in there because you have rejoiced in God. You have thanked God. You have come into the presence. You've been in the presence of God. You know, when Moses came out, what did Moses do? What did they ask him to do? Cover your face, dude. You remember that? He put a thing over it. He put a veil over his face because his face was shining. Of course, he kept the veil on after the shining quit, too. You know, so what? That is funny. Well, I don't want to offend anybody by too much shining because they told me to do that, but now it's not shining at all. You know, if you quit letting your light shine, it will dim out. So don't cover it up. Don't put your light under a... This is all brand new stuff. I didn't write any of this stuff down. How many know the Holy Spirit just brings stuff to you? How many know the Word of God is on the inside of you and it'll come out? How many know you're full of the Word of God? And he's able to bring that into a circumstance and situation no matter where you show up. I don't know what I'd say. Good. I'm glad you don't know what you'd say. Just show up. Just have enough obedience to walk out there and say, okay, I'll just show up. And when somebody says, so-and-so needs prayer, or somebody to go pray for somebody, you just, Lord, thank you for blessing this person. And all of a sudden, the Word of God comes out of you. You'll have a scripture right there in season. You know, it may not happen every time, but it's going to happen a lot. You are a minister of God. Walter. You're a minister of God, filled with the love of Jesus. Make your face to shine upon thy servant. Teach me your statutes. Now, last verse. Rivers of water run down my face, run down my eyes, because they keep not thy law. What is that reminiscent of? Is that Paul said, I wish I could be accursed for my kinsmen who don't know the Lord. The rivers of water run down my eyes. That's Jesus. Jesus said, I would have gathered all of you, O Jerusalem, but you would not. So us and our kids. We want our kids to be gathered into the kingdom of God. But it appears that they will not. But Jesus spent everything so that we could be gathered. And then he sent the Holy Ghost to minister in amazing and powerful ways through other people to those who have not yet heard. Maybe our kids. Those whom we love. Who need to hear the gospel, who can't maybe hear it from us because they have a preconceived notion. But what they do have is a need that somebody can sneak up on them in a vulnerable place and take out the lie that the enemy has perpetrated on them and show them that the love of God is for them. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not your law. That's the biggest grief that I have, is those folks who don't know or won't receive the love of God because they think they have to do something. They think they have to change their life in a way that'll be just a disappointment or something that will cause them grief and cause them to have a bad life. That's what they think about the gospel. They don't know the love of God and the power of God. And so that's what we pray for them. And that's how we work, allowing the Holy Spirit to come out. Amen? Father, we just worship you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you're transforming us and making us new, causing us to be lights in among whom you shine as lights in the world. So we give you glory and we give you praise. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the scriptures. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, does my soul keep them. So, Father, as we worship you and come into your presence and read your word and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us and to change us and to give us hope every single day, Father, we thank you that you also have made us a light to our families and a light to our world, even as we prayed that the gospel of the kingdom would be shared in every place to every creature before the end comes. And we've got our own version of that world in our own personal lives individually. That's how come you gave the Holy Ghost to individuals, because you can reach everybody through us. And we love you and give you praise and thank you, Lord God, that it's not anything about our sins. Our sins are redeemed and taken care of. We don't first look at ourselves before we go talk to somebody about Jesus. We don't examine ourselves to see if we're righteous enough or clean enough. We just come and declare the love of God because we're loved of God. And we're not afraid. In Jesus' name, amen.